Posloucháte testovací nahrávku pro ověření hlasitosti. Pokud neslyšíte nahrávku dostatečně nahlas, oznamte to administrátorovi zkoušky po zaznění signálu.
Počúvate testovací nahrávku pro ověření hlasitosti. Pokud nepočujete nahrávku dostatečně nahlas, oznámte to administrátorovi zkoušky po zaznění signálu.
English exam, section 1, listening. Part 1. You will hear a text which is followed by several tasks. You will be given time to look through the relevant tasks before you listen. You will hear the recording twice. Solve the tasks based solely on the information in the recording. You now have 1 minute to look at tasks 1 to 6. Sue Cowley has spent a lifetime in education and has written more than 25 books for teachers and parents. Then, 3 years ago, she turned her back on it. Frustrated by changes in the education system in England, she took her 2 children out of school, packed the family Audi, and set off on a journey across Europe and China. The result was a thrilling 6 months adventure documented in her book, Road School. The family, Sue Cowley, her partner Frank, son Alvi, then 11, and daughter Edita, then 8, set off in February 2014. The itinerary was planned around the children's interests. For example, they decided to visit Milan to learn about Leonardo da Vinci and Beijing to see the giant pandas. Their first port of call was a mobile home on the outskirts of Amsterdam and a visit to Anne Frank's house before they moved on to Berlin, Paris and beyond. There were just 3 road school rules. 1. They would always be on the move. 2. They would hunt for interesting things. 3. Both children had to write an A4 page a day in their own travel journal. They also packed a portable library, a suitcase filled half with fiction and half with non-fiction, though no textbooks were allowed. Their journey coincided with a government crackdown on term time absence, which has made it harder for parents to take children out of school. Hundreds of parents have been fined, and challenges have been made in court. The government's case is that if children are not in school, they cannot be learning. Cowley thinks otherwise. Learning doesn't only happen in school, she says. When they returned, Edita drew an extraordinarily accurate map of Europe from memory, a challenge that would be beyond most adults. The other big positive was the way in which travelling increased the children's ability to cope with the unexpected. Since their return, Alvi and Edita have stepped back seamlessly into conventional classes, and Cowley has nothing but praise for the schools they attend. She is, however, worried about the long-term future of education as schools grapple with funding cuts. And while the children may be happy to be home, Cowley has found it harder to adapt. The danger is, for people considering doing it, that you get itchy feet, she says. The minute I got back, I was thinking, where can we go next? Now listen again. Sue Cowley has spent a lifetime in education and has written more than 25 books for teachers and parents. Then, 3 years ago, she turned her back on it. Frustrated by changes in the education system in England, she took her two children out of school, packed the family Audi, and set off on a journey across Europe and China. The result was a thrilling 6 months adventure, documented in her book, Road School. The family, Sue Cowley, her partner, Frank, son, Alvi, then 11, and daughter, Edita, then 8, set off in February 2014. The itinerary was planned around the children's interests. For example, they decided to visit Milan to learn about Leonardo da Vinci and Beijing to see the giant pandas. Their first port of call was a mobile home on the outskirts of Amsterdam and a visit to Anne Frank's house before they moved on to Berlin, Paris and beyond. There were just 3 road school rules. 1. They would always be on the move. 2. They would hunt for interesting things. 3. Both children had to write an A4 page a day in their own travel journal. They also packed a portable library, a suitcase filled half with fiction and half with non-fiction, though no textbooks were allowed. Their journey coincided with a government crackdown on term time absence, which has made it harder for parents to take children out of school. Hundreds of parents have been fined, and challenges have been made in court. The government's case is that if children are not in school, they cannot be learning. Cowley thinks otherwise. Learning doesn't only happen in school, she says. When they returned, Edita drew an extraordinarily accurate map of Europe from memory, a challenge that will be beyond most adults. The other big positive was the way in which travelling increased the children's ability to cope with the unexpected. Since their return, Alvi and Edita have stepped back seamlessly into conventional classes, and Cowley has nothing but praise for the schools they attend. She is, however, worried about the long-term future of education, as schools grapple with funding cuts. And while the children may be happy to be home, Cowley has found it harder to adapt. The danger is, for people considering doing it, that you get itchy feet, she says. The minute I got back, I was thinking, where can we go next? You now have 1 minute to solve tasks 1 to 6. Part 2. You will hear a series of short, unrelated extracts. There is one task for each extract. You'll be given time to read the relevant task before you listen. You will hear each extract twice. Solve the tasks based solely on the information in the recording. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 7. A Polish charity has received a huge phone bill after it lost a GPS tracker that it had placed on the back of a stork, it's reported. The Environmental Ecologic Group placed the tracker on the back of a white stork last year to track the bird's migratory habits. It travelled some 3,700 miles and was traced to the Blue Nile Valley in eastern Sudan, before the charity lost contact. Ecologic told a newspaper that somebody found the tracker in Sudan, removed the SIM card and put it in their own phone, where they then racked up 20 hours worth of phone calls. The charity workers then received a phone bill of over £2,000, which they will have to pay. A Polish charity has received a huge phone bill after it lost a GPS tracker that it had placed on the back of a stork, it's reported. The Environmental Ecologic Group placed the tracker on the back of a white stork last year to track the bird's migratory habits. It travelled some 3,700 miles and was traced to the Blue Nile Valley in eastern Sudan before the charity lost contact. Ecologic told a newspaper that somebody found the tracker in Sudan, removed the SIM card and put it in their own phone, where they then racked up 20 hours worth of phone calls. The charity workers then received a phone bill of over £2,000, which they will have to pay. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 8.
The Flemish Tourist Board has issued a complaint to social media network Facebook after it removed a number of posts featuring paintings by Flemish artists for nudity, including paintings by Peter Paul Rubens. Rubens was one of the most influential artists of the 17th century and was famous for his Baroque paintings, many featuring nudes and cherubs. The Tourist Board says that it has issued an open letter to Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg saying, "We've noticed that Facebook consistently rejects works of art by our beloved Peter Paul Rubens and other artists, which is making life rather difficult for us." The Flemish Tourist Board has issued a complaint to social media network Facebook after it removed a number of posts featuring paintings by Flemish artists for nudity, including paintings by Peter Paul Rubens. Rubens was one of the most influential artists of the 17th century, and was famous for his Baroque paintings, many featuring nudes and cherubs. The Tourist Board says that it has issued an open letter to Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg saying, "We've noticed that Facebook consistently rejects works of art by our beloved Peter Paul Rubens and other artists, which is making life rather difficult for us."
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 9. A church in New York decided to put up statues of 8 of the world's most famous scientists. One of those selected was Albert Einstein. Einstein, who was still alive at the time, was asked how he felt about being immortalized in stone outside of a church. Einstein agreed, but added, "From now on, and for the rest of my life, I must be very careful not to commit a scandal. A church in New York decided to put up statues of 8 of the world's most famous scientists. One of those selected was Albert Einstein. Einstein, who was still alive at the time, was asked how he felt about being immortalized in stone outside of a church. Einstein agreed, but added, "From now on, and for the rest of my life, I must be very careful not to commit a scandal." You now have 20 seconds to look at task 10.
A Japanese company called the Warp Space is offering newlyweds a novel way of showing that their love is eternal by blasting wedding plaques with their names on into space. The company promises to newlyweds who pay for the service that it will engrave their names, messages, and other information on titanium plaques measuring some 16 millimeters by 8 millimeters. The plaques will then be loaded onto miniature cubic satellites, which can hold several hundred plaques, and be released into orbit. They will join the tens of thousands of satellites, man-made objects and space junk already orbiting the Earth. Astronauts will take photos of the plaques being released and send them to the couples. A Japanese company called the Warp Space is offering newlyweds a novel way of showing that their love is eternal by blasting wedding plaques with their names on into space. The company promises to newlyweds who pay for the service that it will engrave their names, messages, and other information on titanium plaques measuring some 16 millimeters by 8 millimeters. The plaques will then be loaded onto miniature cubic satellites, which can hold several hundred plaques, and be released into orbit. They will join the tens of thousands of satellites, man-made objects, and space junk already orbiting the Earth. Astronauts will take photos of the plaques being released and send them to the couples.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 11.
Zooists, members of a pagan Icelandic religious movement based on ancient Sumerian beliefs, are set to get a temple in the capital of Reykjavik, it's been reported. They've applied for permission to build a two-story ziggurat as a centre for their growing congregation. Zooism is a relatively new faith. It was registered as an official religion in Iceland in 2013, and only about 2,800 people are members. However, Zooist leaders say the movement needs space for weddings and prayer meetings. Zooists, members of a pagan Icelandic religious movement based on ancient Sumerian beliefs, are set to get a temple in the capital of Reykjavik, it's been reported. They've applied for permission to build a two-story ziggurat as a centre for their growing congregation. Zooism is a relatively new faith. It was registered as an official religion in Iceland in 2013, and only about 2,800 people are members. However, Zooist leaders say the movement needs space for weddings and prayer meetings.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 12.
Mr. Welsh, you live in America now, in Miami. Do you go back to Edinburgh much?
From time to time, yes. I am intrigued by how Edinburgh has become a successful model for all UK cities in terms of so-called regeneration. Push the working classes out to the edges and fill the city centre with posh students, the ultra-wealthy and tourists.
And why did you choose Miami?
It's a big world and I'm a nomad. I want to see as much of it as I can. I live in Miami Beach, which is pretty interesting. If I go for a walk, it's full of people preening and strutting. Narcissism is embedded in the culture. I would definitely say America is an interesting place to live right now. There is this sense of rising anxiety here, the feeling of impending apocalypse of some kind. In a perverse way, it's good to be in the midst of it. The novel I'm working on is about contemporary American shootings. It kind of makes sense to be here.
Mr. Welsh, you live in America now, in Miami. Do you go back to Edinburgh much?
From time to time, yes. I am intrigued by how Edinburgh has become a successful model for all UK cities in terms of so-called regeneration. Push the working classes out to the edges and fill the city centre with posh students, the ultra-wealthy and tourists.
And why did you choose Miami?
It's a big world and I'm a nomad. I want to see as much of it as I can. I live in Miami Beach, which is pretty interesting. If I go for a walk, it's full of people preening and strutting. Narcissism is embedded in the culture. I would definitely say America is an interesting place to live right now. There is this sense of rising anxiety here, the feeling of impending apocalypse of some kind. In a perverse way, it's good to be in the midst of it. The novel I'm working on is about contemporary American shootings. It kind of makes sense to be here. End of the listening section.